and that because of Christ in us, we have a lively hope. Our God is not dead. We know he's very much alive, and he's alive in us. And we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. And talk about this lively hope and what it means for us as Christians, not only later, but what it can mean now for us. The good thing about God, he gave us enough to keep us now and enough for later. He keeps us, gives us what we need today and has what we need for tomorrow. And then when we leave the old world, and he's got something even better waiting on us then. So a lively hope, or a living hope. I want to first of all read this. It's something I got out of a commentary, and I thought was, we'll read it here in the verse, but I thought it was a perfect, just a perfect way of saying this. Our inheritance is untouched by death, unstained by evil, unimpaired by time. It is death-proof, it is sin-proof, it is time-proof. Our inheritance already exists and is being preserved. Nothing can touch the inheritance God gave us. The tax collectors can't come take it. The government can't steal it. The devil can't rob you of it. What God has given you is yours forever. It's an inheritance we have. That's why we call it eternity. It means there's not an end to it. So we're going to talk about what the Bible says about our inheritance and why we have it in 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, not anything we've done, his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us, he's rebirthed us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This verse tells me, if we read it a different way, before the resurrection, we had no hope. But he's begotten us, reborn us, that there's hope again. See, there was no hope for King David till the resurrection. There was no hope for Abraham. I'm talking about really until the resurrection. They believed in it, knew about it, but there was no hope for them. But when the resurrection took place and Jesus came out of the grave, that lively hope became a part of David's life and Abraham's life, and it resurrected them into that inheritance that God had waiting on them. We have a living inheritance. We have a living will, so to speak. You know, we have that thing where we don't have to wait because, see, our testator's already died. The Bible said that in Hebrews. Our testator's died, which means we already receive the benefits. The benefits now. See, we can what you call, what's that expression, double dip. We can double dip. We can hit the inheritance here because it's already ours, and then we have it waiting on us when we leave. It's there too. How is our inheritance part of our lives now? Well, if we believe the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us, then that means we have all of what Jesus has living in us, which means we have the joy of God, the peace of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the discernment of God. If we really believe that his spirit lives in us and he's given us himself as we're the tabernacle, then we have a lively hope now. We don't have to accept our condition, accept our storm and say nothing can change that. Why? Who says nobody can change that storm? We have a God who says, I am bigger than any storm and I live inside of you. Don't tell me I can't change your situation. You're not praying to a statue or something pinned on a wall or something hanging on a mirror. You're not preaching to a tombstone. You're praying to a God who rose from the dead and now lives inside of us. A lively hope. That's who we serve. That's good preaching. Y'all say amen or not. That's all right. I know I'm doing good. This is the word of God. A lively, living hope inside of us. So yes, we have an inheritance now. I find myself thinking many times, and I'm going to be honest with you, I know you've done this too. A problem comes, a storm comes. The first thing we should do is pray, right? The first thing you would think is to pray, to seek God, to tap into what God's given. Say, God, you've got to answer for this. You've got to answer for my life because all the resources of this existence I need are living inside of me. But we don't tap into that source. We don't use it. We go all around it, dodging it sometimes, talking to so-and-so about how to fix it, talking to this person or Googling it or going, don't ever, you'll Google yourself to a grave. I'm telling you, man, Google will scare you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, you get one little mole on your finger, you've got stage 4 cancer. I mean, it will absolutely frighten you. Don't Google stuff like that. But we'll do all this stuff instead of just going to God, saying, Lord, you got what I need. I need some joy. I'm tired of being not happy. I'm tired of looking like Eeyore. I want to be Tigger. I want to hop around and be fun again. I'm tired of going around with a long mule face and being so depressed, and I accept that, and I've taken that, and I've let the devil form me into being that whenever you said, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ which strengtheneth me. God, I shouldn't walk around discouraged and depressed when the King of Kings, the Holy Lamb of God, the Immaculate One lives inside of me. Man, I should be on fire for God. I should be just completely passionate, knowing I'm never going to be empty or bankrupt or shortchanged ever. God's not going to run out of love or mercy or joy or peace. There's not going to be an out-of-stock sticker on the shelf when you go to God needing something. There's not going to be, I forgot to order that. Or the thing I love about restaurants, when you know, the ones that serve bread, when you go to the table, you know, the server always says, the bread's in the oven. Sure, it's in the oven. Yeah, yeah. You know I want bread. It don't need to be in the oven. It needs to be on my table. Because me hungry and me want bread. You knew I was coming. It's 12 o'clock Sunday and the bread's in the oven. Are you kidding me? Anyway, no excuses from God like that. We go to God. He says, you know what? I got what you need. You need some joy. I'm going to turn your sorrow into joy. I'm going to turn your mourning into laughter. I'm going to turn your darkness into light. I'm going to turn your hopelessness into hope again, because I can do that because you've got a living God in you that gives you every day what you need. So we have an inheritance now. It's not just over yonder we got this great inheritance. It's not just over the pearly gates or fluffy clouds or however. It's not just when we die and get it. Man, God's given us something so powerful to live with right now that we can walk in peace and power and strength. Man, you ever felt God's strength come on you and you knew it was God's strength? It wasn't a natural strength. God's strength came into you. That's because God lives in you. And God can give you the strength you need to face every day of your life. Because we have a lot of bumpy days, a lot of cloudy days, a lot of days that just we just wish we hadn't got out of bed. But God is so amazing. We'll open our eyes and realize the God that makes those clouds float in the sky, the God that caused that sun to rise and set, the God that caused the moon to change all kinds of shapes from quarter to half to full to the banana moon, I call it, all those moons, God does that. Those tides that roll in, God does that. All the creatures under there, God did that. All the mountains, God did that. All the beaches, God did that. All the deserts, God did that. God's hands. God made an animal with two humps on its back, and it's normal. That's pretty cool. Anybody know what that animal's called? A camel. Ohio is smart. Ohio, yes, a camel. I mean, if you told somebody this animal's got two humps and it's normal, gee, it's a camel. The funny, I mean, they got that hump, and you ever petted a camel up close? They're huge, and their big old long nose, and they'll chew their mouth, and they're just a fascinating creature. Anyway, God made that. God made the hippopotamus. I know, but you know what? It's God's own beauty. There's somebody for everybody, they say. Even the hippopotamus. Those are some weird-looking animals. And the kangaroo, as Kevin sung about last Wednesday. The rain song, even the kangaroo. Big old long tail, hops, and got its own child seat. Long before Gerber came out. I mean, child seat. I mean, God did that. And the same God that made the kangaroo hop and the camel spit with humps and the hippopotamus. Do you know the hippopotamus can breathe in the water? Well, I know that. I already knew that. I wasn't at a bulletin. Thank you. Let's give Ashley credit. She told me that today. Yay. But the hippopotamus can actually breathe for long periods of time under the water as well as be out on land. He can do both. He's dual breath. I mean, that's pretty cool. He's dual breath. God did that. You got animals with stripes on them. They're called tigers. Spots, they're called leopards. I mean, zebras. Is it white with black stripes or black with white stripes? That's the question, right? God did all that. And I'm so sorry. I know what's coming on all that. Anyway, the same God did all that creation lives in us. Surely. You know, I've reading something I wrote a couple years ago. I had a little pad with me today, and I was going through some old stuff I had written a few years ago, just written down God had given me. And I come across a little thing, and just to paraphrase, I don't have it in, oh, I do have it in front of me, actually, if I can find it here. I want to read it, if I can find it. This is my little pad I write stuff on. God gives me and jot stuff down. And well, it being mean to me, I write that down. Anyway, the thing was, there's a sparrow, and it's talking to the robin. And the humans were going all crazy and wild, trying to, you know, figure things out. And the robin looks at the sparrow or something and says, why are they so crazy? Why are they acting like this? And the sparrow said, I don't know. They must not have a heavenly father like we do. And the whole point is, the animal world is at the very command of God. The animal world has a thing that God directs them from the hibernation of the bear. The bear knows when to go into hibernation, and the bear knows when it's breakfast time. He knows when it's time to come out. The snake knows when to shed its little skin off its body. The eagle knows when to go back in the cave and start clawing its claws and busting its beak up and plucking its feathers to rejuvenate itself. All that is by the nature of God in them. Now, God does take care of the animal world. God takes care of his little animals. Church, I know we love our animals. I know we love our little dogs and our little kitty cats and our little goldfish and our pythons, whatever you got. You love them. But we are much more important to God than any of those things. And God takes care of them. Now, if God takes care of these little creatures that we love so much, how much more does he take care of the thing he made after his own image, after his own likeness? He doesn't call the animal world his sons and daughters. He calls them his part of his creation. We're called sons and daughters. We're sons and daughters of the Most High. He's our King. He's our Lord. And he lives inside of us. We have an inheritance. Get the next scripture. This word gets good. We have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's undefiled. And it fadeth not away. And is reserved in heaven for you. The inheritance God gave us through his crucifixion and resurrection, his grace and salvation, is reserved, that promise of our full redemption, that promise of what he's got waiting on all of his children, is reserved in heaven waiting for us. Which tells me this, my future in God is settled. My future in Christ is secure. It doesn't fade away. And it's reserved. We know what reserved means. If you make reservations at a restaurant, you're pretty proud about that when you go to that little hostess. Reservations, Lewis family, 6 o'clock, I called. Yeah, Lewis. Yeah, there. You're proud of that. You go to your hotel on a vacation. If you're smart, you book a room ahead of time. You go to the front lobby, I got a reservation. I've never once in all the years I vacationed, never once went to a hotel where I made a reservation and they didn't have it. It's always been there. Always. I reserve it. When I get there, I know it's there. You know how many people call after I call? I need a room that night. But you know what? 224 is taken, right? That's my room. So they're not going to give it away. It don't fade away. It's reserved until I get there. Our inheritance is reserved until we get it. It's not going nowhere. It's not going to fade away. It can't be corrupted. It can't be stolen. It's a guaranteed thing, our covenant with Christ, which gives us a lot of joy in the earth to walk, knowing, man, the prize is waiting on me, and I know that I know that I know that all things will be new. I know that I know that I know that all sickness will one day be gone, that all age will be relieved, that all time will be stopped as we know it, and that I will one day forever and ever be perfected again in the image of Christ, worshiping and reigning with him in his kingdom forever and ever and ever. And that's waiting on us. The older you get, the more forward to home you become. It's just how it is. You know, when I was 25, I never thought about heaven. I'm 20 years older than that now almost, and you start thinking a little bit more about, you know what? There's an afterlife. There's something after this. And I sure am glad. I sure am glad that God has something beautiful waiting on me. Whenever that time is, He's got it waiting on me. And it's not going nowhere. See, my reservation church was made August of 1980. That's when my reservation was made. And that's when, you know, St. Peter, if you want to do it that way, wrote in his little scrolls, James, Lewis, 10 years old, 1980, boom. He has a room. And I hope it's oceanfront. I hope it's on the beach. I know my reservation is made. I know it's reserved. And nothing can change the inheritance God has given me through His grace. That's what makes the power of His grace so impactful, church. We didn't earn it. See, I said this last week, there's a lot of people that will teach you grace unto salvation, but don't really teach you grace keeps you and keeps your salvation. There's a big difference. Yeah, we're saved by grace. There's no buts, ands, or ors to it. We're saved by grace, and that's final. And we're sealed by His Holy Spirit, and that's final. And we're His forevermore, and that's final. The book of Revelation says that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. He says, Him that overcometh shall inherit all things. You go back to 1 John, well, who is he that overcometh? What does that mean? Who? 1 John tells us, he that overcometh is he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's how we know we're overcomers. Our faith is placed in that. So my name's written in the Lamb's book of life. Can't be erased, can't be changed, because the blood has been shed, the blood has been spilled, the blood has been stained. I've given. Remember what Paul says, that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Paul was talking about his soul. I give my life to you, God. I give you my soul, and you're able to keep it until that day when it's cashed in. You're able to hold my soul all of my days and keep me in that place. That's good news. That's what I preached on last week, good news. Who are kept by the power of God. Our inheritance, look at it. We just said this. How's our inheritance kept? It's kept by the power of God. It's not kept by us. We can't keep something we didn't earn. God gave it to us, and God keeps it by His power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. See, each one of us, church, is going to reach the end of our salvation. And the end of our salvation will be realized when we walk into the kingdom. That's when our faith is truly realized. That's the end of our salvation. When we do a funeral for a saint of God, they take their last breath on this earth, they have entered into the end of their salvation. They've achieved it. They've accomplished. They're seeing the reward of their faith in Christ. God kept them all those years. Through all their mistakes, through all their failures, through all the religious folks saying, you're really lost because you know what, of all the stuff you do. You're really lost because you live with that boy not married. You're really lost because you had a kid out of wedlock. You're really lost because you drink a beer sometimes. You're really lost because you cuss when you get mad. You're really lost because of all this stuff. And all those people tell us that and keep us in that condemnation bondage. And then when we appear before God, He says, welcome home. I kept what you gave me. It was against that day of every challenge, every persecution, every judgmental glance, every condemning word. It kept you through that because I'm what you're facing and nobody else. When our faith in Christ and Christ alone, He is our judge. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, we have passed from condemnation unto everlasting life. Or we passed our condemnation out of His judgment into everlasting life. There's no more judgment, church. There's no more judgment for those that have placed their faith in Christ. We've been declared justified. Over and over, the Bible says that. We're justified. We're sanctified. We're made free by the blood. So that's our inheritance. Our inheritance is for here. Our inheritance is for now, because we have a lively hope. That hope lives in us. Don't think God as a dormant, distant God that won't hear our prayer, that doesn't care about what we feel or think, that doesn't answer our prayers. Think of God as one that is very aware, very alive, listens to every word, and knows. I was doing some praying today. Went to my little special place to do some praying today. And I said, God, Your word says to call upon You and You will answer me. And so I began to ask God some questions. And I said, God, I need You to answer me. I need You to answer me. I need some answers. Because Your word doesn't lie. Call upon the Lord, and He will answer you. And He will, and He does, and He has. And God may not answer you in that exact moment, but you wait on Him, and you seek Him, and you be patient and listen for His voice. And God will answer, and God will speak clearly, and you will know it is God that is speaking. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. This is Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here's the mystery. Now remember, this is a time period. This was written right after Christ had resurrected and ascended, just a few decades after this, a few years. And the Jewish people were God's chosen people. They'd rejected Christ, many of them. So now the Gentiles are being reached out to. And the Jews are mad about that because the Jews are like, okay, we're His people. We keep the covenants. We keep the feast. We, you know, do the worship the right way, read the Torah the right way. We give our tithes the right way. We do all this stuff the right way. And now the Gentiles are inching on our territory, and you're saying they can have the same covenant we have? Don't make a lot of sense. He says, here's the mystery of the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope, the expectation of our glory. It's simply Christ being in us. We're a lively hope. It's not religious stuff we go through and ceremonial things. It is knowing that His Holy Spirit lives inside of us. That when my daughters, in any situation she's faced, can call upon the Lord, He's there. It's not a ceremony she goes through. She says, God, help me. And God hears her, and God helps her, because the same God that saved me in 1980 is the very same God that saved her 5-6 years ago. The same God, the same Holy Spirit that drew me, drew her. My daughter has a wonderful testimony of how God called her. Is me, her, and Melanie by ourselves here at the church doing some stuff, and she's on a swing set swinging, facing the woods, and she's out there just singing a song for God. It was kind of cloudy, and the sky began to open up a little bit. She sang, and she says she heard God speak to her heart, you need to get saved. I want to save you. She came running to the church and told me and Mama crying. I heard God tell me He wanted to save me. He wanted to save me, and we joined hands in the sanctuary, us three. And we prayed. She's crying, and we prayed, and she prayed with us and asked Jesus to come into her heart. And I can tell she's got Jesus in her heart by the way she lives. I know she's young, almost 13. Has typical 13-year-old rolling eyes, okay, I know all that, yes. But I can tell she's saved by her nature, by her actions. It wasn't a great revival moment. The drums wasn't beating. The organ wasn't going. The oil wasn't being slapped on. Love those kind of services. They're wonderful. It was simply Ashley on a swing set. And our living God, our lively hope, spoke to her. She's, 7 years old when it happened? I believe 7 years old. We wasn't pushing that. We're in here doing some work in the sanctuary. I know what we're doing. Emails in here doing some stuff. She's out there by herself. Come running in. That's God. That's our lively hope. That's not some religious thing. That's our God who drew her. Man, that's powerful. We have a lively hope. I remember your experience. It was we had a celebration. Wasn't a celebration we was doing? It was kind of 10-year something celebration. 10th anniversary. We're outside and we're releasing, I think, balloons, and we got our 10-year anniversary celebration. We're having a big event after church, and you know, people all outside. And remember, Taylor, come got me. I said, I need to talk to you. I think Melanie was with me. Weren't you with me? We come back in here, just us three. I mean, people outside, you know, and we just come in here, shut these doors, come in here, and same kind of same thing. Taylor, like, God's wanting to touch. I feel God calling. I feel God talking to me. We knelt at this altar, and we prayed in her life. That's how God works. This was well after the service had ended. We're outside in the festivity. She comes to me crying. God was moving on her. See, we don't have to drum God up. God's already here. We simply have to walk and receive what's already here. We have to just listen to what's already here. And God was here speaking to her that day. I love when I see God move. Carl Caspero, Joe, called me last night. We talked for about 20 minutes. Little Carl. Yeah, I remember, some of you remember Little Carl. Some of you don't. But he's doing great. He's living in Clemens right now. And he's married, got two kids. He's a deacon in his church. And he called her a few months to keep up with me and told me again, so I just want you to know, James. He says, I keep up with you because you're the one that, you know, helped change my life. Little Carl, now little Carl got saved. Carl has a story too. Carl was battling a lot of demons, a lot of issues. Carl was in a bad place. His sister, who lives in Florida now, called me and says, can you come talk to my brother? He's just in a bad place. I go to Mooresville. We go out and sit in a car. Just sit in a car. Out on the street in front of the house. He's in the driver's seat. No, I'm in the driver's seat. He got in my car. And we're sitting there. We're parked. We're just talking. We join hands in that car. And we pray. He was different after that. He never looked back. He'd been in church ever since. It changed him. He was in witchcraft at one time. He practiced witchcraft. Sorcery. Black magic. He was in all that. And God touched him. And God saved him. Right there, one-on-one. You know why? Because God's a lively hope. He came in that car we were sitting, and the same presence that we love in a Pentecostal tent meeting was the same presence in that car in Mooresville. It brought salvation unto him. That's the God we serve. We just got to listen and be obedient, and the Spirit will draw. There's been many encounters we've had like that. I prayed with a guy in hospice about 3 days before he died in the hospice house. Pray for salvation. It was he was an unbeliever. He was, you know, just not hadn't lived his whole life right at all, and kind of a hardened guy. And I'm talking to him, and I went one day and talked to him. I said, I'll be back second day, and then the third day, I didn't just go in the first day. Hey, man, you go to heaven or hell? I mean, I don't. That's not how I roll. I'm just talking to him, man. Hey, the Braves doing good this year, ain't they? Yeah, I like my Braves. You know, just talking's talk. The third time I go to him, I asked him. I said, where are you at spiritually? Do you believe? Never have made it. So I'm talking to him about what Jesus did. I said, well, no, Jesus died for you. He died to take all your sins away. No matter how you live in the past, he died to remove all that out of your life. If you believe in him and call him into your life, he will save you. He's listening. I said, do you want me to pray with you? He stuck out his hand. He said, pray. That's all he said. I took this man's hand, kind of a burly guy, took this guy's hand, prayed with him. When I got done, he has glasses off, wiping his face with tears. And I said, man, I believe you felt that. He goes, I did. I felt that. He died 2-3 days later. Those incidences is our lively God coming with us where we go and being in those rooms, those hospital rooms. We don't have to have great masses to impact lives. It's one-on-one. It's in the hospital. It's in a parked car. It's on a swing set. It's wherever. It's in a closed sanctuary. Everybody else is out eating hot dogs, and we're in here. It's wherever. God is. His presence is. And that's a church, that presence is still so strong in the earth. If we would just walk in it, and if we would just listen to it. I prayed for a woman down in Lincolnton Monday. I'm down at a nursing home. And before I left, I said, I want to pray with you. And she wasn't the patient. She was a daughter of the patient. And it's just me and her in a room. The nurse came when I was praying to her, not, but she waited and got done praying. The devil's always trying to interrupt those kind of things. Right in the middle of my, I mean, the heat's going strong, and all of a sudden, are you kidding me? So I just kept praying. I'm pressing through. I'm not stopping. I'm pressing through. She sent me a text later that night. I said, Pastor, thanks for coming to see me. My dad, it meant a lot. Now, this is an older lady, not as old as Elizabeth, but, you know, older. And she said, you know we love you. And she said, she said, I've never had, said, when you prayed, and once again, now, understand, I wasn't hollering and hooping. I was sitting in a chair. She was on the end of a bed. I took her hand, and I'm praying for her. And she said, I've never had a prayer prayed over me like that. I felt such a, what was the word she used? It was a spirit-filled moment that I'd never experienced before in that prayer. I didn't realize it made that my impact till later that night when she texted me. But see, my God, your God, showed up in that moment, in that very moment, to give her the strength she needed. See, our God is a lively God, a living God, and we, him living in us, we carry that with us. Each one of you that are Christians, you have that. You can lay hands on someone and pray for them. You can take their hand and say, let's join. You know, it's important that we do that. It's important that we do that. You know, I know Mom brought up to me, she talked about the seniors meeting. You know, she said, you know, I'd like to offer prayer for people that want prayer. And they want prayer, we can lay hands on them and pray with them. That's beautiful. That's how it should be. That's wonderful. It's more than fun and games. It's a ministry. And if there's need in that group, that someone says, yes, I need to be prayed for, we lay hands on those people and we say, God, you're here, you're with us, you're in us, you're our livelihood, you show up and give us what we need. That's how we enjoy our inheritance now. That's the double dipping part. We can have that joy, that strength, that peace, that comfort. We can lay our head down at night and sleep. We can shut out all the noise, all the lies, all the voices. We can shut it down and say, no more, God, give me what you need me to have today. So we got it for today's world. And then thank God we know what's happening after this world. We know we will be with the Lord forever. One more scripture I want to read. This is in Psalms 46:1. Very familiar scripture to all of you. God is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Now, if God is not a lively hope living in us, how can he be a present help? But he is. He's a present help in our time of trouble. And that's where we as Christians have to pursue a little deeper, I think, and say, you know, we know God's going to move. But sometimes we need God to move, you know, today. I know the bread's in the oven, but I want it, like, today. Come back tomorrow, we'll have bread. I don't want beer tomorrow. I'm hungry now. I want it now. God, I need it now. I don't want to lose one more night of sleep. I need sleep now. I don't want to suffer one more day. God, I want to end now. God, you're a present help, which means anytime I need you, you're available. You're on duty. I mean, you're 24/7, and you're there right now for any need I have. So we trust him with it, and we believe him for it, and we talk to him about it. And we believe, God, yeah, you can help me right now. I'm not way off distance. You ain't got to, you know, I'm not on call waiting. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't have to try to get to you when I can. And that's what blows my mind about God. We don't know. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere at all times. And that blows my mind. From the person in Japan praying to God right now, the person in Iran praying to God right now, the person in South America praying to God right now, and the person at Living Word praying right now. And God is hearing and understanding all of those. Because that's the God we serve. His circuit is never busy. His line is never down. He's a present help in time of trouble. He's not like your pastor, screens calls. God don't do that. God loves us, and he wants to help us. That's our inheritance. He's a lively hope. We have hope because Christ lives in us. And we need to understand the power of that with what we're facing and what is coming in the generation, the shift that's happening in the culture that's we're just seeing more and more, and we need to understand our hope is not in this world. Our hope's not in our government. Our hope's not in our next president, whoever it is. Our hope is not in what, our hope is in Christ alone. That's our hope, and that's our glory, is him in us. So you rest assured in that and be faithful in that, and enjoy your inheritance. What if I told you, Elizabeth, I left you in my will, and I'm going to leave you $300,000, and you can start using that at any time while I'm alive, if you want to wait after I die. Now, not to be ugly, but with our age gap difference, would you wait till I die to start using your inheritance? You'd be like, you say I can start using it any time? I'm gone today. Give me the ATM card. We got inheritance now we can use that, you know, we don't have to wait. Jesus has died and has risen and given us this covenant. You know, Joe Brown, I'm not going to blow too much, I ain't going to blow his stories. He's got some wonderful stories he's going to tell you at the thing coming up. Is that this Thursday? Is that tomorrow? Next Thursday, okay. But you're going to hear about Joe Brown's God. You're going to hear about what his lively hope has done for him and how he was a present help in his time of trouble. I mean, on time. I mean, present, right then, right now. Some beautiful things that are going to really encourage you that he shared with me in the past. He's a testament to what I'm preaching tonight, that God's there to help us right now, and he will. So don't give up hope of Christ in you, because Christ in you, there's hope for now, for tomorrow, and forever. So be encouraged. And that is me message. And I thought that was a pretty doggone good message. And don't you think that's pretty good, Brother Kevin? Pretty good. I got one clap. Elizabeth, the one I've been insulting. Thank you. Oh, man. Do what? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It was my big inheritance. Yeah. Oh, boy. You want that kind of money, you got to talk to the board. Kevin, come on up here and get us a closeout song ready.
I need you to show me what to do. I wanna believe, open my eyes to see. Here I am, Lord, I'm on my knees, asking you to help me. There's no other way. Show me what to say to gain your amazing grace. Lord, you're here now. You show me the way. I never wanna leave this place. And now I believe your word, so I'll walk your way each and every day. I know I have strayed, but you're the potter, I'm the clay. Here I am, Lord, I'm on my knees, asking you to help me. There's no other way. Show me what to say to gain your amazing grace. I know I have strayed, but you're the potter, I'm the clay. Here I am, Lord, I'm on my knees, asking you to help me. There's no other way. Show me what to say to gain your amazing grace. Gain your amazing grace.